Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
The unshuttable door. How many English majors do we have here? There is no such word as unshuttable. And you know that, and I know that. But I also know that we that are born-again, Spirit-filled Christians, we have a vocabulary that the world cannot even speak because it doesn't apply to them. And the reason why there's no word unshuttable in the secular vocabulary, because if you're not a born-again Christian, everything can be shut to you. But praise God, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and get anointed of God, there are things that can never be shut. The world just can't shut them out. And praise God, that's what I want to talk about today. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You may be seated. Once you grasp this concept, and it's not a humanly concept, it's a divine principle, that there are opportunities, there are things that are set before you, there are doors that God opens to you that nobody nor anything can shut those doors or those opportunities. It's very exciting. When you realize that your destiny is not in the hands of man, but your destiny rests only between you and your Creator, it is a creator of faith in your heart. That helps create faith when you realize that no man can stop me, that no man can set upon me to hurt me, the Bible said. No man can shut the door that is against me. In Galatians 1 and 10, Paul writes to the church at Galatians, says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so the key is pleasing God. There are many times you just will not be able to satisfy people. You won't be able to do what they want you to do for a variety of reasons. But always seek to please God. It's the old joke. You've probably heard it several times about the two men that were hunting. All of a sudden, a bear jumped out and started chasing them. And as they were running, the one said to the other, said, you think you can really outrun a bear? He said, I don't have to outrun the bear. I only have to outrun you. And so we don't have to please men. We only have to please God. Because men can decide that they are going to cause your demise, that they're going to stop you, that it's all over, you're through, you're fired, they're going to start a rumor on you, they're going to do something that is going to stop you in your tracks. But if God is for you, there's not a man that can stop you. And so is this decision we have to make when a door is before us and we feel like it's closed, we have to make this decision. Is the door closed or blocked? If it's closed, it's because God allowed it to be closed and we should not even be attempting to knock on that door and try to open it. But is it blocked? If the adversary is blocking it, it means there is something through that doorway that is going to be good for us and something that is going to be encouraging for our life. Is the door closed or blocked? The discernible opportunity, is the door closed or blocked? You've got to decide that. I remember when we were looking for property, when I first came to San Antonio in 1975, and we were looking for property, and one of the pieces of property that I looked at was originally the property next door, and I couldn't get a phone number on it originally. And so I went down that same day and found some property in Selma, on the same side of the road down there. And I found that property was for sale. But immediately when I approached the city, they said, we're not going to allow you to buy that property because we don't want a non-profit there because we want the sales tax. When I talked to a lawyer, he said, they can't do that. We can sue them. It's going to be a long, drawn-out process. It's going to cost you a lot in legal fees. And I realized that door was closed, and it was, because God didn't want us down there. He wanted us in a more visible place, highly visible place, right here on this freeway. And so in a few days, we were able to make the first purchase here. But God closed that door. See, when God closed the door, it's because it is inferior to what God has planned in your life. And so you need some discernment in your life to decide whether it is closed or whether it is blocked. I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. This is actually a two-part promise. Not only set before us an open door, that's part of it, but number two, no man can shut it. It doesn't matter how much persuasion they have, how wealthy they are, how politically savvy they are. If God says that door is going to be open in your life, nobody can shut it. The first thing we look at is the door of salvation. Aren't you glad that no man can decide that you're not going to heaven? That's your choice, just between you and God. All the gifts of God are that way. I used to have a friend, and he was a tremendous missionary. He was a missionary to Thailand. He's a very unique guy. He was very short and very heavy, weighed probably about 400 pounds and stood about 5'3", and he was just a real unusual guy, but he was really effective in helping people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he had these big Holy Ghost rallies, and denominational people, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, people that desired the baptism of the Holy Spirit would come to these meetings and receive it by the hundreds. But he had one little problem, as most of us do. We all have a few little liabilities in our life, and one of his was he had a hair trigger. I mean, he'd get mad just that quick. And so he was in L.A. doing a big Holy Ghost rally, and all these people had come to receive the Holy Spirit. And so he called this woman out to receive the Holy Spirit, and they brought her down there. He pointed at her, and they brought her down there, and he instructed her, and no matter what he said, she wouldn't do it. He said, lift your hands, and she just stood there, went through a whole litany of things that she needed to do to receive the Holy Spirit, and she wouldn't do it. And finally, he got mad. He said, you will never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as long as you live. See, he was closing the door, but you can't do that. Man can't close the door. What he did not realize was that the woman was totally deaf and had not understood one word he said. And so when the person that was there said to her in sign language, he said that you are rebellious and you never receive the Holy Spirit. He told you to receive, to lift your hands, and you wouldn't do that because you didn't. She threw up her hands, and even though she was not normally able to speak, the Holy Spirit came on her and she began to speak in that heavenly language and embarrassed the preacher. It's all right to embarrass somebody that's trying to shut the door to your opportunities, because God will not withhold any good thing from you, and God will not deny any good thing from you. So when somebody tells you that something in the Word of God is not for you and tries to shut the door, you need to ignore them and pursue what God has said. And so the door of salvation, that you're going to be eternally saved, no one can keep you from heaven. And I praise God for that. No one can keep you from the door of kingdom living. There is a kingdom life that we live now. Back in the 80s, swept the charismatic movement, what was called Kingdom Now. And they abandoned all hope of heaven. They abandoned all preaching about the rapture. They went off on a very strong tangent that all the kingdom was now. I taught a series during those days called Kingdom Now and Then. You don't sacrifice something that is good for something else that is good. All good things come from the Lord. I believe in the kingdom now. The Bible teaches us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's a whole lot of people that would teach you, and I came from that background, that somehow we should succumb to the fact that the door to good living is closed because we're Christians and we're going to die, and when we die, we're going to go to heaven and things are going to be great. But they're not supposed to be right now. You're supposed to live a life of denial and persecution and tough times and poverty. All of this is propagated in the name of Christianity. So what they're saying is that the door of kingdom living is now closed to you. I reject that with everything that is in me, because the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will add all these things unto you. And if you study that sixth chapter of Matthew, you find out he's talking about food, he's talking about raiment, he's talking about shelter, he's talking about all the things that we need to have a good life. And so when somebody tries to shut that door to you, you just tell them, no, I'm sorry, the door is open and you cannot shut it. Heavenly benefits are mine today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And thirdly, when somebody tells you that the door of divine anointing is closed to you. You know, there is a segment of the Christian population that teaches that everything that is supernatural and everything that is spiritual and everything that is godly, everything that is powerful is no longer applicable to the New Testament church. That was only for the church through the book of Acts, and at the closing of the book of Acts, that all of that ceased. But that's simply not true. The divine benefits of God are available to us. The supernatural power of God. You've come too late to tell me that God can't heal the sick. I've known countless people, numbers of people that had cancer that are cancer-free today. I've seen people with limbs that were deformed or would not function, and suddenly they were touched by the power of God. I've experienced divine healing. And so if you try to close that door of supernatural power or divine anointing, I'm going to say, wait just a minute. That door is open and no man can shut it. It doesn't matter what it is. An anointing is an amazing thing. Anointing is so much better than talent and ability. Talent and ability will take you so far in man's arena. But God's anointing will take you through man's arena, and then it will take you through the curtain that is trying to stop you from entering into that supernatural arena. When you're anointed of God, amazing things happen. Weapons that are formed against you will not prosper. People that come against you will be defeated. Doors that seem to be closed are wide open. The windows of heaven are opened up and blessings are poured out upon you because you're anointed. You know, the good thing is we're not all promised that we will have great talents and be great speakers or great singers or various things. But anybody that will seek the Lord and really put God first can become anointed. And it is anointing that breaks the yoke. And so when somebody tells you that you're denied the things of God, you need to realize it's up to you and your God to get that anointing applied to your life. David was not the most gifted of Jesse's sons. He was not the most comely of David's sons, but he was the most anointed of Jesse's sons. And that's the reason why he became the king of Israel and the man after God's own heart. And so don't tell me that the problems that you face spiritually are because of your physical limitation. That's simply not true. When we lack spiritual blessing in our life, it's one thing. We simply do not have the appetite to pursue. Do you have the appetite to pursue? Some comes not out but by prayer and fasting. That means you have to pursue the Lord and His anointing, because His anointing will right every wrong. His anointing will break every yoke. His anointing will deliver every bondage. The anointing of the Lord is an amazing thing. How many people have ever heard of a man by the name of Tim Scott from South Carolina? Raise your hand if you know who Tim Scott is. Tim Scott is an African-American senator from the great state of South Carolina, which is a state that's pretty much known for some of its racial prejudice. But here is a man that has become a senator, and he's not only a senator, he is a very well-liked and profitable senator in the United States. Not only is he a senator, this African-American was elected first to the House of Representatives. He's the only person from the state of South Carolina that's ever been elected, the only African-American that's ever been elected to the House of Representatives and the Senate. You say, what's so unique about this man? What's so unique about it? So many people have prophesied his demise. He has a degree in political science, and they said, well, you have to move out of South Carolina to use that degree. You'll have to go to the inner cities of Chicago or Los Angeles, and told him where to go. He said, no, I'm staying right here at home, and I'm going to become a political force. And he has been that from South Carolina. He tells a unique story about the people in his life because he comes from a Christian background. His grandfather was a major force in his life. And every day at breakfast, his grandfather would hold up the newspaper and make a big preach. pretense of reading the newspaper, and he'd say, Tim, the key is to get education. He said, you got to read a lot, and you got to study a lot to become influential. And he said, I want you to get a good education. And so he'd thumb those pages, and he'd read the newspaper at the breakfast table. He'd take 30 or 45 minutes so his little grandson could see him reading the newspaper. His grandfather, I think, recently passed away. He's well into his 90s if he hasn't. But the key was his grandfather never learned to read a word. He was simply showing his son, his grandson, how it ought to be done. But the real key to Tim Scott's success is he's an unabashed, born-again, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. He goes to a great church there in South Carolina, and he's very vocal about his commitment to Jesus Christ. And so he is beating white person after white person after white person at the poll when he shouldn't win. You know why? I don't care how prejudiced somebody is, how bigoted somebody is. When they get in the polling booth, if God's anointing is on you, he can cause them to vote against their own desires and their own heart, because there is a door that no man can shut. It doesn't matter who's against you if God is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, quit blaming people and say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sic God on you. And friend, when you sic God on your enemies, if you're in the right, you're going to win every time, praise God. So if you want to fight racism in America, get anointed. Racism is bigger than, better than hatred. It's better than racism. It's better than bigotry. Praise God. Anointing wins every time. Hallelujah. And the Lord is on our side. I'm anointed of the Holy Spirit. And God tells me that there is a door that he will open in my life and nobody can shut it. I know I'm always a little defensive and I'm always a little appalled when I realize somebody is opposed to what I believe that God has called me to do. But don't let that steal your attention. Don't let that depress your attitude. Realize God has called me to do this, and it doesn't matter what the boss man says. It doesn't matter what the neighbor says. It doesn't matter what the politician says. My God is greater than all the forces on planet Earth, and nobody can shut this door. What qualifies me for this great promise? There are three things that qualify me for this door that no man can shut. God says, thou hast not denied my name, a name above every name. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a believer that the name of Jesus is the greatest name in the universe. I know there's lots of people named Jesus. It's not the same name. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name in the history of mankind. The Bible said there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible said do every word and deed in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said every tongue shall confess in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord opens doors for me that no man can shut, because as I pass through that door, he knows that the enemies of the cross and the enemies of God are going to hear one thing. It's not I did it. It's not Steve Fender's great. They're going to hear me saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I give that name glory. I preach in a pulpit. I preach in a church. I pastor people that have congregated about one thing, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. I thrill today as these singers and worshipers led us in worship today. It was such a great day in worship, but it's not about them. It's about the one that we are worshiping. His name is Jesus Christ. Did you know his name will heal the sick? Did you know his name will deliver the possessed? Did you know his name will make a way where there is no way? Did you know that at his name every demon shudders? Did you know at his name, praise God, there can be a way made where there is no way? Did you know that that name can turn back the darkness and break through the light? Did you know at that name life can come out of death? When I say Jesus Christ, the angels of heaven drop drop what they're doing and turn their attention to me. And they say, there's the guy. There's the guy that stands before the door that no man can shut because he's a Jesus freak. He's Jesus in the morning, and he's Jesus at noontime, and he's Jesus in the evening time, and he's Jesus when he goes to sleep, and he'll be Jesus when he wakes up in the morning. Praise God. Can you give the Lord some praise? Can you stand on your feet and shout Jesus three or four times and let the power of God reside in this house? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm familiar with the power of the name of Jesus. I've laid my hands on demon-possessed people and said, in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't care about your degree. They don't care about your denomination. But when you say Jesus Christ, you're releasing the power of the cross. You're revisiting the empty tomb and proving to every demon he is not here. He has risen. When you say the name of Jesus, you're declaring that he is victorious over death, over hell, over graves, over sin, over demons, over Lucifer, over power. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a big applause. Hallelujah. What qualifies me for the great promise of the door that no man can shut, that I have not denied my name? A friend of mine told me about a friend of his coming. And he is of another religion, not a Christian religion. And he said, I want you to do my marriage ceremony. I love you so much. And he said, I'll give you $1,000. And he said, okay. So he did that ceremony. I'm talking about a spirit-filled preacher. He did that ceremony and never mentioned the name of Jesus. You don't have enough money in your bank account, not just you, but all of you put together in this building do not have enough money to keep me from speaking the name of Jesus Christ. I am sure that it is that name that is going to get me out of the grave. It is said that Jesus had to identify when he had a resurrection. He had to say, the maid come forth, Lazarus come forth. Because if he had just said come forth, every dead human would have come out of their grave. Well, I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, everyone that has had the name of Christ applied to them, when the Lord himself comes in the light show of the rapture, when he ascends and when he descends back to this earth, and the voice of shout and the shout of triumph goes forth, that everybody that's got that name attached to them, buried in their heart, is going to come out of the grave. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down, because the name of Jesus is greater than the tomb. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Three things qualify me for this great promise of a door that no man can shut. Thou hast not denied my name, Jesus said. And the second is, thou hast kept my word. I know there are so many people today in the compromise of crowds and money and political correctness that will try to tell you that the word is no longer applicable in the 21st century, but his word never changes. What it said 2,000 years ago, it still means today. We have to understand that I have hidden the word of God in my heart. That makes me a candidate for a door that no man can shut. When God sets me before that open door, I'm going through that door. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter how big their numbers are. Doesn't matter how rich their pocketbooks are. I'm going through that door because I have not denied his name and I have kept his word. I believe every word in the Bible is true, and I believe that his word will never return void. I believe in the word of God. I believe he exalted his word above his name. What makes that name as powerful, as I said it was a few moments ago, is what it represents. It represents God Almighty, a God that cannot lie. Every promise he has made will be kept. Not one word will fall to the ground without fulfillment. It will not return to him void. It is the word of God. And Jesus simply had to say, it is written. And ladies and gentlemen, when you walk before a door that is blocked and you know you're supposed to go through that door, you don't have to whimper and cry. All you have to do is rock back on your heels and say, it is written, and quote the word of God. It is a sword, a two-edged sword. And when you speak the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ, Both edges are sharp. The name that is above every name, and the word that cannot return void. And suddenly that demon that's trying to block that open door realizes that he is about to be attacked with a sword that he cannot resist. He has to step aside. The door that he has blocked is suddenly clear, and you step through that door. You've got the job you said they said you couldn't have. You've got the diploma they said you couldn't earn. You've got the wife they said you'd never find. You've got the car they said you'd never drive. You live in the house they said you'd never own. You have the joy that the psychiatrist said you'd never possess. You've got the bank account that the banker said you'd never have. You've got the health that the doctor said you'd never have. Why? Because of the name and because of the word of God. The door is open and no man can shut it. Can you give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The door can't be shut because I've not denied the name and I've kept the word. And I understand what Hebrews, the 11th chapter, meant when it said, by faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that the word of God literally brings something out of nothing. It is creative. We don't have to have the evidence. We simply know that God's word is true. And if God said it, it's coming to pass. It doesn't matter what the professional says. It doesn't matter what the educator says. It doesn't matter what the theologian says. It's the word of God said it, and I believe it. And the word of God can create it out of nothing. And you sit there today and say, I wish my future was so and so. Well, friend, if you can find it in the word of God, that word, take it out of the pages of God. Hide it in your heart. Wrap it up in the name of Jesus and demand it come to pass. And the devil slinks away as you walk through the door of fulfillment and become what your mother-in-law said you'd never become. Become what your preacher said you'd never become, because you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Give God a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And third, Jesus said you qualify for a door that no man can shut because thou hast a little strength. I always liked that verse, but I had a problem, Sister Jean, with that word little. And so I asked God about it this week, and he said, don't worry about the word little. He said, that just means in the comparison of what's left. No matter what you get from God, the bigger portion is still available. You can't bankrupt God. You can't extend God to his limit. There's no limit to God's grace. No limit to God's mercy. No limit to God's love. No limit to God's provision. No limit to God's redemption. No limit to God's blood. No limit to God's Holy Spirit. No limit to God's mercy to you. No limit to God's grace. No limit to God's strength. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What does that mean? That means the happier you get with Jesus, the happier you get with your redemption, the stronger you are, the more strength you have. Is there anybody in this house today that's glad they ain't what they used to be? Is there anybody here that's happy that they've come from a long way off? Is there anybody thrilled about what God has done in their life? Is God the joy of your salvation? Can you get up in the morning and say, I'm pretty pleased with what God has done in my life? The old man has passed away, and I'm a new man, a new woman walking in these shoes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. I hope that every morning you get up, brush your teeth, and jump in the shower. It just makes you feel better, but it also makes everybody else around you feel a whole lot better. But, oh, friend, it's something to get up every morning and draw a bucket full out of the well of salvation and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and with joy I will draw water out of the wells of salvation. As a boy in southern Illinois, we worked in the fields and got so hot, the only thing we could think about was getting into the well and dipping down and getting a 5-gallon bucket of water and just dripping it over our heads and cooling off in those hot July afternoons. Friend, I want to tell you, in this world that we're living in, by the time you watch CNN a while and by the time you rub shoulders with the atheist a while, you just can't wait to get to the well. You're like the three mighty men of David that broke through the troops. They said, we've got to get back to Bethlehem's well. They broke through and brought David back a drink from Bethlehem's well. I have those days, ladies and gentlemen, when I feel weakness coming on, and I say, I'm getting a little weak. I know people with sugar problems. You got to have a candy bar. You got to have a sugar fix. It means your blood sugar is too low. Well, sometimes I feel like his blood is getting a little low in my life, and I just got to get back to the well. And I break through the tribe, and suddenly, praise God, I've got a bucket, and I'm at the well of salvation, and I'm drawing it out with joy. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord, for how far you've brought me. Thank you, Lord, for the changes you made in my life. I'm glad I'm not my cousin. I'm glad I'm not my brother. I'm glad I'm not my neighbor, but praise God, it's me, Lord. And I can tell you, I got a testimony what you've done for me. I was nothing and you made me something. I was sinful and you made me righteous. I was depressed and you gave me joy. I was dying and you gave me life. Praise God. Woo! It's called the strength of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. Anybody happy you're going to heaven? Anybody happy that your boss is not the final word? Anybody glad that your banker is not the final authority, but there's a door open and no man can shut it? And praise God, you're going to climb out of that bed in the morning and you're going to say, thanks be unto God. He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. And it don't matter who says what, because they can't control the door. The door is open and no man can shut it. Not any man, not several men, not a bunch of men, not a choir of men. The door is open. I'm going to walk today from faith to faith and victory to victory in the name of Jesus. No one can shut me out. No one can stop me. No one can deny me. Hallelujah. When God called me to San Antonio, he set before me an open door. The denomination that I was a part of said, you can't come to San Antonio for no apparent reason. So I came anyway. The first thing I did was go visit one of their churches and buy his building. They called him in and said, you can't sell a building to him. We told him he can't go. He said, too late. We've already signed the deed. Friend, when God opens the door, denominations can't stop you. When you make up your mind you're going to heaven, all of hell can't keep you away. When you make up your mind you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, all the church world can't stop you. When you make up your mind you're going to be healed, the breast surgeons in the world can't keep you in your disease. When you make up your mind that the door is open, I'm going through, the devil might as well get out of the way, because praise God, you're going to pass through that door. And when you pass through that door, you're going to see what God has prepared for you. There are people in this building today that the devil's been blocking the door. It's not closed. It's empty cardboard boxes. It's paper silhouettes just tacked up over a door. He tried to shut the door, so now he's going to fake you out. He's going to try to make you think the door is closed. I want you to do like those high school football teams. Burst through the paper and come out on the field and get ready to play. The door's open! You're going to get that job, buddy. Praise God. You're going to conceive, ma'am. I know you've been trying a while, and the doctor said it's not likely, but I pronounce today you're going to conceive. Go home and practice tonight in Jesus' name. Praise God. The Lord's going to give you the baby. Praise God. Honey, the Lord's going to give you a good man this time. Don't sour yourself on all men. There's a bunch of bums out there, but there's some great guys. There's some wonderful women. God's going to give you the marriage. The door is not shut forever. Get up and claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to work for minimum wage forever. God's got a door where you're going to make $25 an hour before the end of next year. Walk through that door in Jesus' name. Somebody is going to have a business they've been dreaming about. The door, devil says that door's closed. No, it's not. It's paper. Claw it down and walk through it. The devil can't shut that door in Jesus' name. Jump up on your feet and claim the promise of God in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ha-ha-ha-ho. Praise God, praise God. There's somebody in this house right now that it just won't go away. God's given you the vision. God's given you the plan, and the devil's tried to block that door. I challenge you to renew your faith today by jumping out of that pew and running down this aisle and just screaming at Jesus, I'm going to get it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have that job. I'm going to have that marriage. I'm going to have that baby. I'm going to have that bank account. I'm going to have it in the name of Jesus, and the devil can't stop me. The door is open, and no man can shut it. Robocosaha.